Why do you ultimately think that dairy milk was cheaper?
So that just tells you that the reason they're doing that is because of just cost. And with the supply chain and with the manufacturing that goes into squeezing almonds really hard to get the milk out of them.
This is a joke, by the way. We know almonds aren't squeezable. You can get
milk I used to think that you could milk an almond. I thought that they had
like, some teats on them.
Well, I thought they just got like, I thought it was child labor because it takes somebody with very small hands to milk an almond. And then I figured out, well, that can't be right. No. So I figured they must just squeeze them really hard.
You would have been working there.
I would have been. I would have been the plant manager, milking those almonds.
All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk, Mean Tweets Edition. Well, it happened. As we speculated last time, Elon Musk did the deal that the left did not want to be done. So today, we're going to dig down to the details of the Twitter purchase.
Great news. There's a brand new Star Wars movie out. It's called The Ministry of Truth, Origins of Palpatine.
No. It's a Joe Biden board.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like something like from the Evil Empire.
Maybe it is, but all I know is there's vegans out there that are gluing their hands to the countertops at Starbucks, and we're going to cover that as well. And the other thing that we can't seem to get done around here is we can't get any corn planted because it's just raining, and the temperature in the morning is just too damn low, and the soil temp's too low, and it's a disaster. It's a disaster.
It's kind of a crapshoot. And if you all of a sudden sound like somebody's shooting at us, it's because a thunderstorm could break out at any minute, and the barn is not all that well buffered from that sound on that tin roof. So we think that all the storms are past. But
yeah, we sat here for a little bit just waiting out the storm. We also got bird noises. I don't know if there's a bird in here, if it's on the outside, but we don't have a BB gun sitting with us or a 22, so we can't just...
Not a very good shot anyway.
Not a very good shot. We don't want to do that anyway, but if you hear any birds, bear with us on that as well. Also, pay the fee, guys. If you get any value from the show, if you related to us, if we made you laugh, if you learned something, share the show. That's the ticket to admission to watching or listening to the show. We don't run ads to promote the show. It's all word of mouth, and that's the way we like to do things. So pay the fee. We also got Barn Talk merch. This is also part of Barn Talk merch. It's called just simple, this'll do. And also, if you guys want to see us actually, you know, see what we do on a day-to-day basis as farmers, because you just see us sit down and talk shit on the podcast and you want to actually see us do stuff, go subscribe to our This'll Do Farm YouTube. That's where we post our vlogs of what we do on the farm. So if you want to see that side of us as well, head over there and check us out. But pay the fee, guys. We appreciate all the people that are doing that. It really means a lot to us. Leave a review. Anything helps.
Yeah, it's great because when you look at iTunes or Spotify, there's podcasts out there that have been going a lot longer than what we've been doing that don't have near as many reviews as what we have. And that's kind of neat.
It's really cool.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it, guys. It helps us out on all levels. So We're trying to get to number one on the charts.
Number one.
That would be, I would shit my pants if we got there.
I ran into a guy at the lumber yard yesterday, and he asked me if I was going to be the next Joe Rogan. And I said, that's kind of hard because Joe Rogan and I are almost the same age. I think we might be the same age. He might be a year older than me. And I said, so I don't think that I'm going to catch him before time catches me, but Sawyer might make it, but anyway, we're just happy that we're doing it and people like it and keep those reviews coming and the ratings. It all helps.
It does. It really does.
Market update? Yeah. The market update's going to be very abbreviated today. So the commodity markets aren't a lot different from the last time that we talked. I think wheat might have had a little pressure because there was some rain in the Midwest, but there again, they're just trading the rumor because it isn't going to change the actual amount of grain that's in the world. So I think it'll all come back. And beans got helped a little bit because this cold weather. There's some guys around here that have had beans in the ground for 2 weeks, I think. And it had, you know, usually you can speculate a little bit and get some beans in. And then if you feel like that weather is going to turn, they'll just sit there and wait for it. I don't know. It doesn't look good right now as far as turning around and getting those temperatures. I mean, we can't even get out of the 60s. Barely, most days aren't even in the 60s. And so, I don't know. We're waiting. It's too wet now, and we'll see what this week does. But as far as the business side of things, a lot of quarterly results were released this last week, and Amazon missed. Part of that was because they had a big loss from Rivian, because when Rivian went public, the electric truck company, the stock was valued pretty high, and it's dropped quite a bit since then because they're not getting along very well, getting very many trucks made, so they're missing their production targets. So I think Amazon had like a $5 billion charge off on that because of the value of their stock.
Did they split? Or when are they splitting?
Oh, I don't know when they're splitting.
I think they're splitting in June.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or is that Google?
No, it's Amazon.
Amazon.
They're doing a 20 for one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it has yet. Mm-mm. But anyway, that was a disappointment. Ford missed. Ford lost money. But they lost money partially because they had an investment in Rivian. So Rivian hasn't helped anybody. But they're rolling out the Ford Lightning as fast as they can. And I think all the pressure is on them. You know, if they can execute that and get that going, it'll go a long ways to helping them out. GM, that thing's a train wreck. I think Mary Barra, somebody ought to fire her because it's fun to watch her answer questions because she does a great job. She should be a politician. I mean, she already kind of is, but she does a great job of not answering any question that gets put in front of her. She just spins it around and throw something they're doing to take care of it. And then Twitter missed. And so Elon, we'll get into that, but I think that's part of the reason why he got it bought was because they knew they were going to miss, and they did. Their ad revenue was down, and I think their subscriber or their traffic was down. So the stock market's just kind of a mess.
It is kind of a mess. Everything's down. Hell, the S&P 500's down. Everything.
Time to buy.
Yep.
When there's blood in the streets, that's the time to be in buying it.
It's on sale. It's on sale.
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that goes this week.
Yeah. So did Tesla miss? You don't have to go on down a whole rabbit hole here, but
No, Tesla didn't miss. Tesla crushed record. So just a little tidbit, GM and Ford, they gave their quarterly results. And just for reference, Tesla makes roughly 5 times as much money per vehicle they sell as what Ford and GM do. So it's crazy. In fact, Tesla made more money off of the million cars they sold than Ford made off of all the cars they sold. And I don't even know what it was, but anyway. And I think GM, they were very close to GM, but yeah, they crushed it, but the stock's down 20%. So it's a good time to buy Tesla stock. And most of that's because of the macro environment. And by that, I mean about 45% of Tesla's stock is owned by institutional investors. And so when you have all of this uncertainty about him buying Twitter, Elon buying Twitter, and people weren't sure how he was going to fund that. And he did sell, I think he sold $8 billion worth of stock because he's got to come up with the money to pay part of that. I think he's putting in $21 billion into that Twitter deal. And then he's got backers, banks that are putting up the rest. But everybody knew he was going to have to come up with some money. And anyway, he sold stock. And so, you know, everybody's speculating about that. And so a lot of your institutional investors, they're just going to sit on the sidelines. So even though Tesla had great results, the stock's not going to go anywhere. In fact, it may even go down because a lot of the big players are reluctant to get in when there's all this uncertainty. They want a momentum trade. And so when the stock, you know, when it's got a tailwind and it's going up, it's easy to pile in and get your run it up a little bit, get out, then buy it again, go again. So I don't think much is going to happen, even though they had excellent results. But it's all tied together. That's the thing, is now, for whatever reason, you know, Tesla and Twitter, and it's always been that a little bit with Tesla and SpaceX, but because SpaceX is private, it isn't as big a deal. And eventually, when Twitter is done and it's private, it won't be a big deal either. But right now, in this transition time, the next month, you're going to have a lot of just every day there's going to be some bullshit story, you know, that CNBC or The Street or Barron's or Forbes or whoever's running, because it's all news, and so they're going to play with it.
Tesla's been probably the most scrutinized stock ever in history.
Oh, yeah.
And every single day there's something new on Tesla, and really you just got to block out the noise and dig in and find the reasons why it's an invaluable company.
Yeah.
It's just like regular media.
Yeah.
Without finance, any kind of media nowadays, they like the headlines because it's the ratings.
They go where the eyes are.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you a good example. I own just a little bit of Seaboard, and that's a very uninteresting stock. The only reason I own some of it is because Seaboard is the parent company of the hog. They have a hog division, Seaboard, that's located out in Oklahoma. I think that's Oklahoma in the panhandle, but they're partners in Triumph, and they're into international shipping. They're into power generation. They're into all kinds of stuff. It's a big conglomerate, but I bought some stock in it a few years ago. And if you look at the news every day on stocks, like Seaboard will go months. Like, it might be 6 months before there's a story about Seaboard, because nobody cares. It's not interesting. Tesla, there's 8 stories a day about it. Most of them aren't even true. It's just that people just hyping this and hyping that, and that's what they're doing because the eyes are on it. So that was a little rambling.
That's all right. So it kind of ties into exactly what we're going to get into to start. Elon buys Twitter for $44 billion, which is crazy. It's crazy we're sitting here a week ago and we were like, is he going to get it done? It didn't look like he was going to get it done. Looks like they were going to do, what do you call it?
Poison pill.
Poison pill on him, and he wasn't going to be able to do it. But you kind of heard a perspective on it and how he got it done and why he got it done.
Yeah.
How did he pull it off? And kind of explain your theory on it.
Yeah.
It's a little deeper than kind of what a lot of people, because people just think he just snapped his fingers and got it because he's Elon Musk. But
yeah,
I think there was a little bit of strategy in there that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, he definitely did have a lot of strategy in it. And I don't know if this was him personally that figured this out or somebody that he had working with him. And honestly, we'll never know if this is even true. And I've got to give credit. I heard this from Tom Nash. So Tom Nash is a guy, he's got his own YouTube channel. And he used to be he used to work for a financial firm, and he went on his own. I think he just runs a family office, and he puts out videos. But Sharp Cat, and it actually dawned on him just right as it was being announced. But if you go back a little bit, Elon started accumulating shares in Twitter gradually over time. Started 3 months ago, I think, maybe. And he built up this position, and you can do that without having to tell anybody that you've done it, because, you know, it's just like when when you and me or anybody else buy stock, you don't have to tell anybody. But when you get to a point that you own a big enough percentage of the company, then you have to file a form with the FCC or the SEC. And he did that, and nobody really thought about the timing of it. But what Tom's point was is that he could have crossed that threshold of where he had to report it. He could have done that really about any time, but he chose to do it at the time he did, because what ended up happening, at the end of the day, the reason that the Twitter board ended up accepting this offer is because of the way that Elon proceeded through his steps. they had no time. And by that, now that they've reported, we can talk about, Twitter missed. So they missed on their earnings and their...
For the quarter.
Yeah, for that quarter. So he saw what was coming with Netflix. And when Netflix reported, the stock dropped 30%.
Because they missed.
And, you know, the whole economy is kind of in the shitter right now. So these tech companies, if they hit, basically the stock may just kind of stay the same. But if they miss,
it's going down.
It's going down hard for at least a while because everybody's in a panic. Okay, well, when he announced, when he filed that form, and then Twitter came and they wanted to play nice with him, he played along with that, but I don't think that he ever had any intention of taking a seat on the board, but he kind of played it to buy himself some time because he knew that they were going to miss.
He knew the earnings call was coming.
He looked at it and he knew chances are they're not going to beat. At best, they're going to hit maybe where their target is, but more than likely they're going to miss. So he kind of sandbagged and he let him offer that chair and he talked to the chairman of the board and the chief financial officer, and all that went down through the end of that week. And then over that weekend, he said he came to the conclusion that he wasn't going to do it, and he made the offer of 54.20 54.20 a share. Okay, so then the board, they were debating about what to do. Well, they knew that they had to report the following week. So by the time this all got rolling, they only had a matter of days to try to find somebody that would be more palatable to them to purchase the company. And there wasn't anybody out there. Nobody was going to stick their neck out and buy it. And so, and they knew that if they didn't take his offer of $54.20 when the stock had been $30, if they didn't take that,
and then they miss.
And they miss, and the stock drops.
And then he sold his
shares. And then he dumps his shares because they screwed the pooch. He would dump his shares, which would drive the stock down even further.
And then publicly, the persona of Elon getting out would even drop it even more.
Right. And the board would end up getting sued because the shareholders would file a suit against him, against the board, for not doing what was in the best interest of the shareholders. Yep. So they had that hanging over them. So at the end of the day,
they had 3 days to make a decision.
That's about right.
2 to 3 days to find somebody better than Elon to sell it to.
Yeah, and they didn't do themselves any favors. As I told you last time, they hired the bank that they hired to explore what it was worth. They actually had a sell. They had a sell recommendation on the stock, and they were basically telling people to short the stock before Twitter hired them to do it. Morgan Stanley, that's who it was. They hired Morgan Stanley to do it. Well, anyway, long story short, he played that well, but I rambled a little bit.
Yeah.
He played that really, really well. And you know, it could be that was dumb luck, but I don't think it was. I think he knew exactly what he was doing clear back when he made the decision to buy that last bit that put him over the hump that he had to file that. Because when he did that, it put Tesla's board in a tight spot. Twitter's board in a tight spot. And they really had no choice but to take that offer.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's kind of my, and there again, I'll totally give credit. I hadn't thought about it till I listened to Tom Nash, and it totally made sense to me. He's a pretty sharp guy.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that we see from Elon, this isn't the first instant of that. Like he doesn't show you what's all going on behind the scenes till something's done. He's done this before with like stuff he tweets about, and then good stuff happens to him. He's just smart with what he knows what he's doing. He's five steps ahead of people.
Oh, yeah. It's just like when he tweeted out, "Should I start a social media platform?"
Yeah,
you know, that was clear when he put that out.
That was like the first. And meanwhile, he's buying shares.
He's already buying shares.
He's already buying shares of Twitter. So he knows. So I feel like that was just an indicator for him. Man, I want to see how many people would actually like if I started my own platform. Damn well knowing I'm buying Twitter shares right now. See, that makes it even think that makes you think even more that it was thought out.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I think something that's surprising, though, is the reaction, the way over-the-top reaction that people have gone. I mean, it is what's really crazy to me is Elon Musk is not a conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say he's absolutely...
I think he's a libertarian.
Absolutely. Sure. I guarantee he is. But he has a lot of very liberal views. But his overarching, like, his due north is...
He's a capitalist.
He's a capitalist, and he's a free speech guy. And yeah, pretty much libertarian, the fact that government should not be involved in your day-to-day lives. And I told Sawyer just today, I think, you know, isn't it ironic or whatever you want to say that I am sure that there is a large demographic of people that would consider themselves very progressive, very liberal, that all own Tesla automobiles because of the environmental side of it and everything that Elon, you know, stands for up until the point that he buys Twitter. Mm-hmm. And now they are just like, they're just churning because they don't know what to do. Because on the one hand, you know, they thought that he was their savior for Mother Earth, because to them, environmentalism is like a religion. But then shutting down conservative voice, that's like a whole nother religion to them. And so they're so convicted as, you know, what, they don't know. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I've seen a lot of positive. I guess I don't follow a lot of left-leaning people on Twitter, but from what I've seen, a lot of people are on board with it.
And yeah.
There's so many people that are happy that the platform's changed. I've seen so many conservative people in politics. Ted Cruz, for example, he grew his following in 2 days by 500,000. Yep. He went from 4.5 to 5 million. Yeah. In 2 days.
And that's
of the shadow banning
and
the bots and all that stuff. And Elon's already kind of putting a halt to it. And like, he's growing now. He's actually getting exposure versus when it wasn't owned by Elon, it was getting shut down.
And I feel like the other part of it is there is a heck of a lot of conservative people that have left Twitter because they were just tired of it. Mm-hmm. They were tired of every time that they commented on something that it got taken down or they got thrown in.
They got an insane amount of bots that would comment.
And now a lot of those people are coming back. Mm-hmm. And so the platform, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much the platform shrinks or grows, because, you know, the same people that, you know, everybody was going to take their music off Spotify over Joe Rogan. And that's a total side note. I don't know if we commented on that.
Oh,
but
I think it's going to explode. I think Twitter's going to explode.
That deal with Joe Rogan, when that was all done, how many subscribers has he grown? 2 million.
Yeah.
So from Rockin' in the Free World, what's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Oh gosh.
You would know better than me.
Yeah. Anyway, the singer that was gonna go, that took his music off, you know, when that all went down, you know, they were basically trying to cancel Joe. And the flip side of it is when it's all, and it's still not done, but they've pretty much given up on it because it didn't work. He's actually grown 2 million subscribers from when that all started. And Twitter, you know, you've got all these people out here that are saying, you know, they're going to leave Twitter, leave the platform, but you've got people coming. And when it's all said and done, it'll be interesting to see how it grows.
I think it'll have the same impact. I think it'll be the same way that Rogan's podcast grew.
Yeah.
Because I think there's more people that are freedom leaning in this country than there are extreme left.
Yep.
And I think the more businesses, the more corporations, the more platforms stand for pro freedom, the more people are going to get onto those platforms, go to those businesses, do anything if those companies support freedom, they're going to be for it.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's going to explode. I wanted to throw in here, do you think Elon is the hero that America needs? Because last week I said, I was kind of skeptical. Is Elon playing the part like he's for the American people and then he's bought by elitists? Or is he actually who he says that he is? You know, who he appears to be, which is this freedom warrior, and you know, this really the best billionaire we've ever seen, to be completely honest with you, as far as being for the people. And so far, I mean, like over the last week, it's really been awesome to see. He's really active on Twitter, and like he's putting his opinions out on there and just showing people that he truly is for, I think he is, yeah. I believe him, that I think he is a freedom warrior, and he is for the people, and he is pro freedom of choice, and he's not playing a part. I'm starting to form that opinion more and more.
If you go off of the moves that the left have made, so if you go off of Elizabeth Warren and off of Joe Biden's Ministry of Truth that we'll get into a bit, and the rhetoric coming out of Washington, D.C., you certainly wouldn't think that he was any kind of friend of that kind of politics, because the blood is shooting out of their eyes over this. Mm-hmm. They're scared to death. And CNN, well, this kind of all, it's so funny because this all happened at the same time that I don't know exactly what the corporate, how the back and forth went, but long story short, CNN ended up being owned by Warner Brothers or Discovery Network or whatever. I don't know who the parent company is, but they launched CNN Plus when they started their streaming service, and the ratings and the viewership was so poor they canceled it a month in, because nobody wants to pay to be depressed.
Right.
And I mean, that's all CNN is gloom and doom all the time, but we're getting off. Why don't you talk about just, it's very entertaining to me in the morning when I get up and Trish and I are drinking coffee. I always like to peruse Twitter and see, you know, what's going on in the world. But just the Elon tweets are always entertaining.
I got a list of just my favorite tweets from Elon so far after he's bought in Twitter. And these are just good for if you're somebody that's in the middle or you feel like you're pro freedom, it's really, these tweets just make you feel good to see. The far left hates everyone, themselves included, but I'm no fan of the far right either. Let's have less hate, more love. Boom.
That's a good one.
I can agree with that. I can get with that. I think most Americans can get with that. For Twitter to deserve public trust, it must be politically neutral, which effectively means upsetting the far right and the far left equally. So let's get back to being more united. Let's come back to the middle, where I think a lot of people in America live. We all kind of live in the middle, but they want to tell us we're either extreme left or extreme right.
Yep.
And I think Elon is in the middle just like us, which is awesome to see. He's politically where most people are, which makes you feel good. And then last one that I have, I hope that even my worst critics remain on Twitter, because that is what free speech means. Boom. I love that one, because it's like he's standing by. He doesn't care even if his critics are on Twitter. He's going to allow them to say what they want to say, because that's what matters. That's what free speech stands for. That's what makes America great. And I got one more I want to share, because AOC came at Elon. She came at Elon. Well, she did. She said she didn't go at Elon after he roasted her in the comments replying to her tweet, but she pretty much said, "Tired of having to collectively stress about what explosion of hate crimes is happening because some billionaire with an ego problem unilaterally controls a massive communication platform and excuse it because Tucker Carlson or Peter Thiel took him to dinner and made him feel special." And then Elon literally replied, "Stop hitting on me. I'm really shy." And that tweet exploded. And then she responded and said, "I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Zuckerberg." She was covering her own ass, yeah. But it's that she was totally talking about Elon. And
that was
that tweet exploded when he liked that. And I saw another one was just like, Elon is single-handedly destroying wokeness. Like, he's just single-handedly destroyed wokeness in a week. And it's like, and I saw someone say, would I rather have Elon solve world hunger with $44 billion or destroy wokeness? I take wokeness.
Yeah.
Destroy wokeness.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see. Like I said, last week I was like, you know, I was wondering if he was bought and paid for, if he was for the people. And more that I see this kind of stuff, it makes me feel good and makes me feel like Elon is on our side. He truly is on our side with good intentions. And this is exactly what America needs.
Yeah.
It truly is. Do you think the value, do you think Twitter will ever go public after he takes private?
Oh, yeah.
You think it'll go public again? And what do you think will happen? Do you think it'll explode in the next decade?
There are some, there was quite a few people on mainstream media that were saying, basically saying that is buying Twitter the best use of Elon's money? Couldn't he have spent that on some better, the cause, the most popular one was world hunger. And he had a great tweet back to that, like, well, your elected government officials have thrown, and he had the number of how many trillion dollars has been spent on world hunger over the last how many years. And basically he was saying, well, why don't you ask your elected officials what you've gotten in return for all the money that you've all put towards.
Well, and he also said, give me the plan and then I'll fund it.
Yeah.
If you give me a plan on how you're going to do it, then I'll fund it.
Right. But getting back to your point about will Twitter come back to being public, 100%. So people are real hung up on how's Elon going to fund this, and is this going to be a distraction from Tesla, and you know, is this going to hurt the stock price? Because so Tesla was down 20%, something like that. I can't remember what percentage is down, but it lost like $26 billion in market value or something like that. He is going to take Twitter private. He is going to fix a lot of the problems. He's going to add a lot of features that is going to make the platform more valuable and more inclusive to people. He's going to make it easier to use. He's going to grow the audience. He's going to grow the number of people that use it. And I would not be surprised at all if in 2 years from now, he could turn around and take it public. And I would be willing to bet you that when he does take it public, it'll be worth double what he paid for it. So all the people that are whining about what he could do with his money, well, just wait, because when he's done and he sells out, he's going to have twice as much money from this project as he did when he started. And I don't think people understand his ability to problem solve. And he has no time. The number of people that are probably going to get shit canned from Twitter is immense, because one of the things that he tweeted out, another tweet he had was when they were offering him a board seat, he said, well, why don't we just turn Twitter headquarters into a homeless shelter, because nobody works there anyway, because they all work from home, and basically saying he doesn't know what all those people do anyway. If there's ever a place where Tesla's AI may hit the ground running and they start using Dojo as a service, Twitter.
I really think that these platforms have had a little bit too much power, and the censorship was becoming ridiculous. So I'm happy. I think it's a massive problem that he's solving. I think it's great that he spent $44 billion on Twitter, because I think he's going to give us the first real free speech platform that we haven't had in a long time.
Long time.
And I think it's a real problem that he's solving there. So I see it as a problem. He is problem solving a massive issue in our society right now.
Yeah.
We're craving real. We're craving to be connected together, and we're craving to be united again, and we're craving freedom. As Americans, we're craving freedom, and he's going to give us a platform to be able to do that. So I'm all about it, and I think he's going to deliver.
And
he's going to deliver.
Apparently, the Biden administration, what you just said, I think it must scare the bejesus out of them, because during a budget budget meeting where they drug the head of Homeland Security.
Secretary.
He's the Secretary of Homeland Security. His name is Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yeah. Something.
And by the way, they asked him did you see the very pointed question that was asked to him? They asked him about there's a list of, I don't know, 40-some cartel members or all-around bad people that were basically thought to have crossed the border, and they asked him if he had any idea of the whereabouts, whether they'd been caught and deported, whether they had actually entered the country, or whether they were in custody, and he said he didn't know. He didn't know. And he's the head of Homeland Security. And, I mean, that they just beat that like a drum. But anyway, through this whole thing, and they were talking about budget and the money they were spending, he, and I don't think he was supposed to let this cat out of the bag, but he did. He said that there is a board, and it's called the Ministry of Truth, and Joe Biden started it. And then after they got that out of this guy, they jumped Jen Psaki about it, and she fumbled around because she was trying to run interference for him. And she said that, yeah, that the president had put this forward because there was a need for it, because all of the poor
minority
inner city people, they needed them
to stop the spreading of misinformation for their benefit,
because they're not smart enough, apparently. Now I'm speculating, but you know, if you need them to tell you what you should believe or what you shouldn't believe, then your powers of rational thought must not be very good, which tells me that they're basically just saying that, well, if you're poor or you're a minority or live in the inner city, you're dumb.
We're going to tell you what the information that you need. Yeah. You don't need to think about it. We'll just feed you the information we want you to see, because you're dumb and we don't care what you see, and we don't think you can think for yourself.
Which is...
And they literally flat out said it was for minorities, to stop the spread of misinformation for minorities and lower class people.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
which, you know, for
how stupid do you think Americans are? Like, that doesn't even sound good coming out of your mouth.
If you ask most people who would put themselves in this side of the political spectrum, and you asked them why they joined that side, I think the majority of people would say that that side had the reputation of being for people, being caring and caring about people. But when everything they do is to divide people, to marginalize people,
put us in categories, race.
Yep. And pin us against each other, and then basically say that we're too damn dumb to think for themselves or to think for ourselves, and we need Big Brother. And the George Orwell similarities and you know, people pointing out, you know, I'm not going to go into all of them, but if you look it up, throughout history, there's been a few not so colorful or not so good dictators that have had boards called the Ministry of Truth.
It's fucking communism. I mean, this is communism.
It's 100%. Not good.
This is not America. This is not freedom. This is communism. And the whole reason they started it wasn't for that. They made that bit for, oh, it's for minorities, which sounds shitty. I don't even know why you would say that. It's terrible. But let's be real. The reason they started it is because they fear the shit out of Elon Musk and Twitter. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're scared
and why,
as shit.
Why do they want to be able to tell you what to think?
Because they no longer can censor conservatives' minds on there. They don't want us to be united. They don't want us to come together and share our thoughts. They want to divide us, just like you said. And Twitter's giving us the chance to come together with different views, not have spam bots, not have, what do you call it, shadow banning, but to have two sides come together and discuss things and share things without any skewing of any truth. They want to shut that down because they don't have the power anymore.
I think
they don't want us to be free, and they don't want us to be united.
Power is the whole thing. At the end of the day, they fear more than anything else, and they've always hated capitalism. Most people hate capitalism because... And they, you know, capitalism isn't perfect, obviously, because there's winners and losers. And they hate that because they don't want there to be winners and losers, everybody to be the same. But when you boil it all down, what it comes down to is they don't like the idea of people who can think for themselves, that can go find information on what they want to know, make their own decisions. And then if you do that long enough, you'll start to realize that you're in charge of your own destiny, and you start getting funny ideas about how to make a little extra money, how to save a little extra money, how to invest a little money, how to maybe start a second side hustle, how to invest,
how to
buy a rental property.
How to take care of your health, your happiness, your wealth. The thing is, they don't want to teach, wake up. They don't teach you this shit. They don't want you to teach it. They don't want us to learn this shit. And the more that they can take you away, and if they can skew the information to whatever they want us to see and hear and listen to, so we can't be independent. They don't. They, that's exactly what they want. They don't want us to be independent thinkers. They don't want us to be free thinking. They want to control us. And that is the proof. I mean, this is proof. This is a flat out board that is trying to censorship us because they're fucking scared of Elon Musk and Twitter.
They want to make the decision of what you should be able to hear, see, what information you should be able to get.
If that doesn't scare you, you have a serious problem. This is a serious, serious issue. And I don't care if you voted for Joe Biden or not. You have a serious problem if you're okay with this.
Yeah.
If you think the government has your best interest in mind, why didn't they teach you about health? Why don't they teach you about making money? Why don't they teach you on how to be more happy as a person? Because they don't give a shit. They don't care. They would teach you about money. They would teach you about investing, but they don't. They would teach you how to take care of your health so you don't end up in a hospital because they want to treat what you have at the hospital with a pill, but they don't want to teach you on how to take care of your basic health so you don't end up in the hospital. They're not interested in that. They don't care.
Yeah, you kind of jumped off on that, but going back to that, this all kind of started with COVID-19. This whole idea of fake news and false information and flagging stuff, you know, you all saw that. When they hijacked all of the social media and got them tied up in it to where if you said COVID, instantly it got flagged as you should go to this to learn more and don't get your information from here. But a really interesting point, and I feel like more and more people are kind of bringing this up, through that, what'd they tell everybody to do? They told you to go stay home, don't do anything. So basically, don't get any sunlight. And one of the best things for COVID was
vitamin
D, vitamin C, get out and exercise. They didn't talk. They shut the gyms. They shut down the gyms.
Shut down the gyms. Can't go to the parks. Can't do any of that shit.
But that was really just this has been going on for a long time. The government loves healthcare as far as a business. So the healthcare system in the United States is the best in the world if I'm in a car wreck. If I get run over by whatever, if I get shot, it's the best in the world. But if I'm a little chunky and I want to get fit, if I go to my doctor and ask him what I should do, is he gonna prescribe to me what foods I shouldn't eat, put me in touch with a nutritionist, prescribe me an exercise plan?
Is he gonna cure the disease? Is he going to cure and help the problem, or is he just going to give you something?
He's going to give me a pill for my high cholesterol.
Yeah.
Not tell me that I shouldn't, you know.
Are they going to get to the root of the issue,
right,
or are they
not
just going to solve the minor thing, the minor problem you have that's right because of the issue,
yeah,
the underlining issue?
And that's what's so funny, because on the one hand, you know, we're kind of straying around a little bit, but on the one hand, our government, they don't like capitalism as far as for the individual. But for the giant machine of the medical community, for big pharma, they love that. They love that because they can control it, because they've gotten that through mergers and acquisitions. The number of drug companies has gotten smaller and smaller, and they've gotten very involved in politics, the lobbying, the money they spend in lobbying. I mean, just look at the COVID vaccine. I mean, that was like a private-public partnership between the government. It basically is like the military-industrial complex, all the defense contractors, only now it's all the drug contractors. And it's an incestuous relationship. And it's in none of their best interest to prescribe to you to be your own advocate for your health.
Or wealth.
Yeah.
Or happiness.
They want you dependent.
Yeah.
The gist of this whole thing, and you know, talking about and the Ministry of Truth is dependency.
Yeah, it's not in, like, don't just take our word for it, but just really think about it. I mean, just think about it in your own life. Like, it happens to all of us. Like, you don't learn these things and they don't want you to learn. The biggest thing that you can do, like, to combat what's happening against the left and against taking away our rights and taking away our freedoms, is just become the best version of yourself you possibly can be and become a free thinking human. That's what you can do, because
don't be dependent.
They hate that. They do not want that. And if this doesn't prove that to you, I don't know what else will. I mean, your life, you've probably seen a little bit of this proof, but this just puts the icing on the cake. They literally want to skew the information that you see because they know we're on these a lot. They know.
Yeah, and they don't want you to think for yourself.
They don't.
Because they're afraid that you're going to come to the wrong conclusion in their eyes.
Yeah.
And the wrong conclusion would be that you're self-sufficient and you don't need government. And they don't want that. They want you, in every aspect of your life, if it can be a situation where somehow you need government, that is exactly what they're looking for. Yes. Cradle to the grave, you need government. And if anything that strays from that path is, and that's where this kind of stuff comes from.
And we say it all the time on the show, but if you think that government has your best interest in mind, you need to go dig, because yeah. It's not the truth. Your whole life, it's not the truth.
Yeah.
It's not. And these last 2-3 years have been nothing more than just fault. I mean, it's just been insane. And it doesn't seem like they do have our best interest in mind.
It sure doesn't seem like it.
And this, like I said, it's the icing on the cake. It pisses me off, and it's communist.
So there's a lot to watch, because this is all rolling up at the same time. You know, I don't know what the time frame is for when that acquisition by Elon of Twitter, I don't know how long it will take for that to close. We're also going into an election. So the rhetoric on both sides is really going to ratchet up. The Biden administration is looking for anything that they possibly can throw out there to say that it's a win. But pretty much every turn, we said that last time, pretty much everything that you could not have go your way is what has happened. I mean, they haven't won on anything. And I don't think it's going to get any better.
Well, what they're scared of about Twitter is because midterms are coming up.
Oh, I know.
And so they're shitting their pants because they know that they have to get on it. And this is a way of getting on the fire. They're trying to put out the fire as fast as they possibly can, because they know midterm elections are coming. And if Twitter is the free battlefield where you can put out whatever the hell you want and no bots are going to shut it down, shadow banning is going to happen, where they just, you know, shadow ban the Republicans, and then the left has their stuff blow up on Twitter, because that's what's been happening.
Right.
All these Republicans, their stuff gets shadow banned where it doesn't perform as well as the left.
Unless you're a rhino, unless you're a Republican that really isn't doing any good for the Republicans. Then
if you're bought and paid for,
if you're Mitch McConnell, your shit will show up easy, because he's worthless.
Exactly. That's what's been happening. And so now that that's gone, and midterms are coming, they are shitting their pants. They're shitting their pants. And it's just so funny that they gave that excuse about trying to look out for the minorities.
Yeah.
Looking out for the minorities. What a shit excuse.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all for the children. It's all for the minorities. It's all for the underprivileged. Everything they do is done out of love, as far as it's, you know, whatever, damn the repercussions. We don't care who we hurt, as long as it's a good photo op.
There's a lot of parallels with this one. That statement that she made with the voter ID thing. Voter ID loss.
100%.
They think that black Americans, most of them don't have an ID, and that it's racist that we require IDs at voting polls.
Yeah.
I've seen countless videos of people going on the street and asking black Americans, do you know where to go vote when it comes time to vote?
Yeah.
Do you have an ID? Yeah. Well, did you see that they're saying that it's racist to have voter ID laws because they think black people don't have IDs and it's hard to vote for you guys to vote? And they said, no, I didn't see that, but that's messed up. They think that's messed up because, I mean, how insulting is that?
Yeah.
You're literally getting insulted as a whole race. They're insulting you, saying you don't know how to vote and most of you don't have an ID. So it's racist.
We're going to help you out.
Which is bullshit. All they want is these borders are wide open. Southern border is wide open. Bunch of illegal immigrants are coming. And they want nothing more than to restrict voter ID at these
polling stations
so illegal immigrants can vote left. Because they know they've lost a lot of people's votes in here in America, and they need every vote that they can get. They need every vote that they can get.
Well, they just need to get enough votes that they can flip Texas. If you can flip the Electoral College, get Texas, then it doesn't matter, basically, because you got California's in the bag, New York's in the bag. And
you can say we got our tinfoil hat on, but geez, look at it. I mean, just look at it at a different perspective. How does that not make sense? And how is that not messed up that they say that? That's messed up. That's messed up that you're saying most Black Americans don't know how to vote and don't have an ID. When you have real people go on the street and ask Black Americans, they're insulted by that statement, and they show you that they got their ID and they know where to go vote and they know how to vote on. They know.
Do you know who I feel bad for?
Who?
All the Asians.
Yeah.
Asians are the most screwed over minority there is. Nobody ever even talks about them. Nobody's worried about whether the Asians can vote. Nobody cares if they've got an ID or even if they know how to get an ID. Well,
here's the thing. Asian Americans, I think they're some of the wealthiest Americans in the country.
That's why they don't worry about them.
They don't bitch. They put their head down. They work.
They just go to work.
And they go to work, and they get shit done, and they know that America is the best country in the world, and they seize the opportunity.
But they don't. Nobody cares.
And I don't think they care that nobody cares. I think they're too busy working. Kicking ass. They're kicking ass and taking names, which is great.
Okay, are you ready for a lighter?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I thought, you know, there was a lot of parallels with her statement about that.
Oh, 100%.
And the whole voter ID thing. And we haven't covered the whole voter ID thing. So I think that's messed up. But this is flat out communism, and this is bullshit. If you're for this, stop listening. Stop watching the show. I don't want you listening or watching. If you're for that, no, don't be listening or watching the show. Seriously.
Come on, Dad.
You got to be honest with me there.
If you're for the
Ministry of Truth, you're... No.
You can't be for the Ministry of Truth just because it sounds so evil.
There's no middle on that. There's no middle ground on that.
No, there's
not. That's flat out, you are anti-American. You are anti-American, and you want the government to stroke you off. That's what it comes down to. Seriously. That is communism. Man. So...
I'll
say about that.
Fired up. I agree.
I am fired up. It's bullshit.
Well, that's good.
That's bullshit.
Well, there were some fired up vegan activists in Seattle, Washington. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Doesn't happen there very often. Tell me
what happened.
So protesters super glued themselves to the counter of Starbucks in Seattle to protest the company's charging more for vegan milk. Almond milk, oat milk, than they are dairy. The stuff that actually comes from cows that's actually, you know, dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're charging more for the vegan options versus actual dairy.
So if you buy a coffee and you want cream in it, it's whatever. But if you want almond milk in it, it's an upcharge.
And so they came in there hollering, and then they super glued their hands to the table, and they were protesting that because they're pissed
off. So they weren't leaving until they dropped the price.
They're really pissed off.
Why were they doing that? I mean, why?
They said, and these people were linked to PETA. So they were in, I don't know if they were part of the PETA group or whatever, but they were for PETA.
And they were for eating tasty animals? Yeah.
No, they weren't for that.
Oh, the other PETA.
The other
people.
Yeah.
I get them confused.
They said Starbucks was penalizing those who are lactose intolerant, which most of whom are people of color. That is what PETA said. They said that most of the lactose intolerant people are people of color. So they had to make it a race thing too. Not only did they have to come in there with their vegan views, but they also had to go even more extreme with it and tie it to race, because we gotta put the race card on it to make it even more of a headline.
So higher oat milk hurts lactose intolerant minorities. Who else does it hurt?
And environmentally friendly vegan people.
Because squeezing almonds apparently is more energy efficient than getting milk out of a cow. I don't know how hard you have to squeeze an almond to get milk out of it.
I mean, let's be honest, pretty hard. AKA the woke, broke, and weak.
Ooh, look at that.
That's what it comes down to. Weak-ass minded people right there. That's what it breaks.
And what did Starbucks do?
So Starbucks does what Starbucks does best, and they folded like one of the most worthless poker hands. You know, they just
were falling all over themselves to accommodate.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, they're left leaning as hell. So, you know, they're trying everything they can to appease these people. What would you have done in that situation? I said that I would have probably just left them sitting there and just would have kept serving customers.
Well, depending on what time of day it was, I might have just closed early and just left. Just shut the lights out and left.
Just say,
well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you're stuck there.
I mean, I guess you'd be here in the morning.
Yeah. They didn't get arrested. They got cops came, they arrested them, put them outside, asked them questions, and then released them. They didn't even take them to jail. So
what do you think would have happened if they would have gone into a Black Rifle coffee store and done that?
Oh, you know, I feel like that's one of the two that we said. I think they would have just left it. I feel like they would have gotten so many insults from people that are just saying, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? That came to get their coffee and they're just sitting at the counter. They're like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here, dude. Go get a freaking life. And like, I don't know. I heard a podcast and they were talking about this exact thing and they were saying, this is just a result of all those participation trophies and these people thinking that they're smarter than what they think and they need all the attention in the world. And do you really think that you super gluing your freaking hands to the counter at a Starbucks is going to make an impact? If anything, that's going to push people even further away from what you're trying to accomplish, in my opinion. Because like a freaking idiot. You look crazy. You look crazy.
How did they get them off? Did they cut the countertop?
I wonder how they got it off too. I mean,
I would have just gotten out the Sawzall and cut up the counter and said, here you go. Get out of here.
Souvenir. Yep. Never come back.
Or else taking the tube and then glued the other end or the other side of the countertop to their forehead.
Yeah, I don't think Black Rifle Coffee Co. Company would have put up with
accommodated.
That.
Accommodated.
No, and I will never go to a Starbucks ever. I've never really supported. I've actually never been to Starbucks. I'm all the way Black Rifle Coffee Company because they stand for veterans. They're conservative and hell yeah, they're making franchises and they're going out and they're building more and more of them. So I hope they can overthrow Starbucks. I've actually got some stock of Black Rifle Coffee Company because I believe in them. One. And two, I looked at Starbucks stock and I can't remember the price, but I was like, Black Rifle was probably $20 cheaper and they just went public, I don't know, a few months ago, maybe it was a year ago. It hasn't been very long that they're public, but I'm like, you know what? Over my lifetime and how America's floating around, I feel like more people are leaning towards pro-America companies and they're the first pro-America coffee company.
Yep.
And Starbucks keeps doing more and more shit like this. That's making more and more people just go away from Starbucks. I think Black Rifle can win.
See, that's a beautiful thing. Win. That's the beautiful thing about capitalism. You made your bet. You're betting on your horse.
I am. I'm betting on Black Rifle Coffee Company, and I wish that they could sponsor this podcast because that is a company I could get behind, and I love their coffee. If you've never had their coffee, go try it. It's amazing. No shameless plug there, but seriously, it's really good. So, and their packaging's badass, just saying.
Yeah, they have good commercials, too.
Yeah, I love their commercials. They do. Yeah, talk about why do you ultimately think that dairy milk was cheaper?
Well, it all goes back to what we talked about last week.
You don't think Starbucks is just evil towards the left?
And that's what's funny about these people. Starbucks is their friend. I mean, Starbucks is as woke as they are. Right. So if Starbucks could some way incentivize somebody to get almond milk, they would. If they could put almond cream in your coffee cheaper than dairy, they'd already be doing it because they're as woke as that guy that glued his hand to the table.
Oh, there's two of them, by the way.
Well, so that just tells you that the reason they're doing that is because of just cost. And with the supply chain and with the manufacturing that goes into squeezing almonds really hard to get the milk out of them.
This is a joke, by the way. We know almonds aren't squeezable. You can get
milk I used to think that you could milk an almond. I thought that they had
like, some teats on them.
Well, I thought they just got like, I thought it was child labor because it takes somebody with very small hands to milk an almond. And then I figured out, well, that can't be right. No. So I figured they must just squeeze them really hard.
Well, you would have been working there.
I would have been. I would have been the plant manager, milking those almonds. Anyway, I don't know how they make it, but my guess is that it's probably cheaper, easier, more efficient, and less freight to get actual dairy products to a Starbucks than it is to truck almond milk from the two plants in the United States that makes it all over with all the stuff. I mean, I don't know, but it's probably just simple economics as to why it's cheaper. And it goes along with what we were talking about when we were talking about Prop 12 in California. I think that people that are really lit up about all these alternatives and all this, you know, manufactured meat, like lab meat and
cultured cell meat,
all your specialty stuff, you're going to pay through the ass for that, because as the supply chain breaks down and freight gets more expensive and it's harder to find people to work to do the jobs, these companies that are already charging a premium for their product because it's so good and it's going to save the planet and all that, you know, whatever story you want to spin, your costs are going to go up more so than
the traditional,
because
timeless, that's been working for hundreds of years.
Well, yeah, right.
And I think there's more and more people that are sick and tired of the new shit. Like, truly, I think there's been so much new shit peddled to us as just as a society.
I love new shit.
People are going back,
I just bought cottage cheese that had pepper in it.
Traditional things. Like, there's, you know, it's so funny. We have, you know, vegans, and then now we have people that are going all carnivore.
Yep.
And then we have people that are just like, I'm eating eggs, meat, I'm eating butter. It's the whole diet thing is just out of whack. There's so many people that are in so many different things, but there's a whole group of people that are just like, I'm not going to eat anything that you guys make. I'm going to eat what's the Lord makes, and I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah.
And that's going to work for me. And what you do, you can do, but I don't trust it.
Yeah.
And it's the food thing is just like what we were talking about with them trying to censor our information. Like these new products, the plant-based burger, do I really trust what you're going to put in that burger?
Right.
Or should I just go get the ground beef that I know is beef?
Right.
I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. And that beef is going to be cheaper.
Right.
And that,
because it's timeless.
Yeah. That shaved ham is going to be cheaper than shaved whatever that stuff is.
Yeah. Because the supply chain's already there. It's timeless. It's been working
well
forever.
Like we talked about last week, food insecurity, as that gets to be a bigger deal here in America. And, you know, you go to the grocery store, the shelves that are going to be empty first are all the specialty stuff. That's going to be what's empty first. So your traditional, and so, you know, if you think oat milk,
not because the demand is so high,
right?
But because the supply is so low,
right? So if you want your oat milk, that's fine. I don't care. But don't think that it's going to get to be less money. It's going to get to be more money. So if it's 50 cents more now, wait 6 months. It's going to be $1 more.
So truly, to go all the way back around on this story, this guy really just shot himself in the foot, because I don't think Starbucks was trying to support dairy, because I don't think they want to support dairy. They just probably, it was a simple supply and demand thing. And the price of milk was easier to get. It was the price was probably cheaper and easier to get rather than get oat and almond milk. So obviously they got to put those prices into place at their own places or at their own, you know, franchises, because they got to still make money. They're a business.
If they're good marketers at all, what they'll do is say that they're going to make them, you know, they're not going to charge you a premium for the non-dairy, so then they'll just raise the price of the dairy to match the non-dairy, and then everybody can feel like they're getting a deal.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
But I'm an evil capitalist.
So, I mean...
Do you feel better, bud?
Yeah, I do. I feel pretty good. I feel like guys, I know that we've been slowly starting to talk about politics more and more, but I really think it's important, because I think there's a lot of people that relate to us, but you don't get to hear regular Joes out there talking about the things that a lot of us Americans are thinking. Yeah. You just don't hear it, because a lot of people are scared that they're going to get silenced or they're going to get canceled, or they just don't want to mess around and create a podcast.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's really important to share our opinions on things, because I think a lot of people can relate and they can go, you know what? I'm not the only one thinking about that.
Yeah.
I'm not the silent majority that I've been painted to be.
Yeah. And that's a good point.
we need to stand the fuck up.
This
shit is out of whack, and we need more and more people to come together, share our beliefs, share our opinions, and we can, I think we can come together and be united again.
Yeah, and just know that if you do speak up, there's a 50-50 somebody's going to try to shout you down, because the pattern of the woke side, the far left side, is anybody that doesn't share their opinion, there's no way that they can win those arguments through just open debate. Because they sound crazy. When they say what they really want, when they really say what they actually want, it sounds pretty crazy. So anybody that stands up and says, you know, that's, I don't agree with that, the first thing they're going to do is try to shout you down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people stay quiet, is because most conservatives, they believe in live and let live. You're welcome to your opinion. You know, it's not my opinion, but it's your opinion. But the problem is that when you're dealing with somebody that wants everybody's opinion to be their opinion, and you don't have that opinion, their reaction is to shout you down.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in a situation like that, or you see somebody in a situation like that, you know, we aren't going to be able to keep being the silent majority. We're going to have to put ourselves out there.
You're going to have to put your foot down.
And it's not comfortable, and, you know, it's not what you're used to. It's out of your comfort zone. But let me tell you something. It gets easier.
And the integrity, I mean, let's be honest, America, freedom is on the line here, folks. They're chipping away at your rights. They're chipping away at your freedoms. They have been chipping away. I mean, it's been prevalent in these last 5 years. They're chipping away. If we just keep letting them chip away, your country for your kid, my country, this country for my kids won't be what it was like when I grew up. It's not even, right. Hell, it's not even like what it was when you grew up.
It's
and
not.
maybe there's good things in that, but there's also some things that, you wish it was. It was that way.
Well, and
but it's, we have more power now to share our opinions on things, to come together. We have more power than ever before, and it's just important, because you can't be successful. If we talk about business on here, we talk about investing on here, we're farmers, we're capitalists, we're entrepreneurs, but it doesn't freaking matter if our country isn't intact.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If we go communist and socialist or socialist, it doesn't matter what we do, because we can't get ahead no matter what. And there's no point of us talking about trying to be more successful or trying to share people's stories on how they started a business or how they got better at farming, because it doesn't matter. Because we're screwed at that point, and you've lost America. It's fallen. The freedom is fallen, and we can't let that happen. Cannot let that happen.
I need the bomb button. Grandpa, when are you going to get me this bomb button?
Both my grandpas fought in wars and fought for this country, and we can't let that go to vain. You know, you just can't let that shit is. Come on.
I know. I'm telling you, that's why we're doing this. That's why we're getting the word out.
Yeah, so, you know, if you hate us talking about politics, just don't tune into these kinds of episodes. But this is important. Thank you to all of you that have been listening to our episodes, that have been sharing the show, paying the fee. If you got any value, if you related to us on some things, if you learned a new perspective, if you laughed, share the show, guys. We're trying to reach as many people as we possibly can. We're trying to do some good in this world. We're trying to save America, spread the word, and, you know, we're just trying to do some good in this world. That's what we always say. So just share the show, guys.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
And if you've got an idea, you've got something you want to talk about, we'll be doing a Q&A here before long, I'm sure.
I think next episode we'll probably do a Q&A.
And okay, we're going to do some Q&A.
Literally, any questions you guys want to ask, ask away. It doesn't have to be ag-related. It can be anything you want. Ask.
I don't even have to know anything about it, and I'll still talk about it.
Yeah, right. Dad, you can give Dad anything. He'll talk about it. So just throw them out there. Put them down below, and I'll have a story on Instagram and all that stuff. But we really appreciate every single one of you guys that has tuned in and watched or listened. So we'll see you guys back here next Friday for another great Barn Talk episode. We love you guys. We'll see you then.